Now, before we continue on, I need to mention something very important, that I am going to give a sermon concerning the current public education system and how absolutely satanic that it is. And that if your children attend public school, they probably won't tell you what they're being taught. And I have some video about what they actually teach in their sex education classes. And remember, it begins before kindergarten. It is unspeakable for me to bring it out from the pulpit, if you want to consider this a pulpit, okay? And it is so captivating to the students that they don't even tell their parents about it. And so I'll just forewarn you, I'm going to give a sermon on it. I will send the video to whoever wants it, but you better be very careful that your smaller children do not see it, okay? And then maybe you might decide about homeschooling your children. One other thing along that line, these two terrorists from Chechnya, they came here, and what did they find? They found a promiscuous society, a drunken society, an idolatrous society, a society filled with all kinds of things, homosexuality, gay marriage there in Massachusetts. And then what did they hear from the schools they were attending? All of the hate speech against America from the teachers, because they're all the super liberal progressives. So they sat there with this mindset already from Chechnya, okay, and growing up in America, and then the older brother going back for 6 months to Chechnya, and it, you know, that had to be for training for the terrorist activities. But they absolutely are convinced that they are an instrument of God of punishment. Now, their God is Allah, but God raises up evil from our enemies. And they are convinced that they did no wrong in doing this. Rather, they are trying to correct the wrongs that they see. So you see the consequences of what happens when you have a society that wants new God to a great extent, to where now he is rejected, to where now there is nothing that anyone can say from the point of view of the Bible to these people that they will listen to. And we read down here that it said that if you love me and obey me and keep my commandments, 5 of you will chase 100. Okay? And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Well, here we had 2 of the enemy, and they put millions down, didn't they? At first hundreds, and then thousands, and then shelter down, millions, 2. Think how much was spent to find them. Think how much the bill is going to be for overtime for all the police and the sheriffs. And look what we've had to do to the police departments. We've had to make them quasi-military, right? Yes, indeed. Did it stop the evil? No. Because the people have not repented to cease their evil. Now, some people would say, that's crazy talk. Well, then, I say to you, you ought to read the Bible. So that's what we will do. Now we will see there are 7 if propositions that God gives here, continuing in Leviticus 26, verse 14. But if you will not hearken, you will not hearken to me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes Actually, there will be 8, not 7. Or if your soul hates my judgments, so that you will not do all my covenant, so that you break my covenant. Now, God isn't going to break his covenant. God's word is true. God's word is good. God will never break his word. He always gives warning when we go against him, giving us a chance to repent. Now notice what will happen, because there's reciprocation. God always operates on a reciprocal basis. If you repent, he forgives your sins. If you don't repent, he doesn't forgive your sins. If you obey him, you receive blessings. If you don't obey him, you develop cursings. And these are all the human problems that come on people because they've left God. And doesn't that, these first three, does that not define modern Christianity today? Yes, indeed. So he says, if, I will also do this to you. So they have warning. I will even appoint over you terror. Isn't that what happened? What was this called? A terrorist act. Consumption and burning fever, consuming the eyes and causing sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. Either we'll sell it to them, or they'll come and take it. Now notice, if that doesn't work, notice verse 17. Now it's one thing to sin, be stricken in conscience and repent, and get right with God. But just put in your notes there, Romans, the first chapter, where the sins that accumulate, God says he abandons them. Now here with the children of Israel, notice what he does. Verse 17, I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. How's the war in Afghanistan doing? How did the war in Iraq do? How did the war in Vietnam do? How did the war in Korea do? We won World War II, and like the Germans have said, you won the battle, but you have lost the war. Because every evil that they were doing transferred over here. And now we're doing far greater magnitude of evil than they were there. And people get all excited concerning the death camps and the killing of the Jews and others. And yet, nobody raises a finger. Hardly. Well, there are some. We have to give them credit. There are some who are trying to stop the murder of the unborn, the most innocent, you see. And every time something like this happens, they say, oh, the innocents were killed. Oh, boo-hoo. Well, why don't you shut down the abortion clinics? And if you really knew the sex education that Planned Parenthood, through the largesse of the taxes of the United States government, is polluting and destroying the minds of your children, you might take some more action. Okay? So God sets his face against us. You shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. Huh. Think about the political system. They despise the people. If they can use them for cattle, that's fine. Think about what is happening with all the things in the executive branch of the government. And there are those there who hate us. And they even have conferences and solicit advice from the Muslim Brotherhood who hate us. So think about those things. The word of God is true. Now verse 18, God says, all right, have you had enough? You willing to repent to me? You want to stop the activities that you have been doing? Just try one thing. Shut down all the gay bars and all of the gay baths across the nation. See what you end up with. So God says here, verse 18, and if you will not yet for all these things hearken to me, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And just like Jonathan Cahn said, the hedge of protection has been lifted. I will break the pride of your power. Now, what's the pride of our power? Our money and our military. And the two go hand in hand, don't they? If you don't have money, your military power is not worth very much. What's happening? How close are we to the collapse of the dollar? Closer than we've ever been before. And I will make your heaven like iron and your earth like brass. It says in Deuteronomy 28, it'll rain, mildew, blasting. Have all of those, don't we? And your strength shall be spent in vain. Now, not only the strength of our labor, but the strength of our money. And your land shall not yield its increase. It comes a little bit at a time. A little bit last year, a little bit this year. Last year it was drought. This year it's too much rain. Last year it was too hot. This year it's too cold. Neither shall the trees of the field yield their fruit. And then we have rain right when the bees should pollinate the cherries and the peaches. No fruit. You go to the store, everything costs more. Dolores was calculating here recently that she's paying as much as a third more for everything than she did 3 or 4 years ago. A third more. Now, one little item. 6 whole wheat, organic English muffins at Trader Joe's. $1.49 one week, $1.99 the next week. That's a 30% increase. Of $1.50, 50 cents is 1/3. Okay? Likewise with anything else. So he says, verse 21, and if you walk contrary to me, I will not hearken to you. So all the prayers put in there, Isaiah, the first chapter. What are all these prayers that you bring to me? Now, I had an invitation from an international group in London who said, oh, we would want you to come over here and speak with our group because we're going to talk about how much that people have compromised God's way. So I emailed them back because they were a Sunday-keeping group. And I said, well, I'm sure you're well-intended. I'm sure, as the Bible says, there are those who are for Jesus who are not against him. And I'm sure that everything that you are doing is trying to help people understand about God. However, since it is, you're trying to help people not compromise concerning God, that if I would come there, let me tell you what I would speak on. I would call everybody to repent concerning Sunday keeping, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and all the pagan holidays, and to keep the holy days of God. So on that basis, if you want me to come, I will come. Haven't heard a word. Okay? Now notice, will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues on you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall bereave you. Now, what are the most populous wild beasts in the cities? The rat. Yes. There are more rats in New York City than there are people. Remember what happened with the Black Plague? Some people would be well in the morning and dead at night. Now, you see, all of those things in history are there to show that God means what he says. Okay, what are some other wild beasts? Oh, ticks, limes, mosquitoes, flies, snakes, coyotes, bears. Okay, so he says, which shall bereave you, and I will destroy your livestock and make you few, and your highways shall be deserted. Now, I remember one of the reporters saying when he flew into the Boston airport to come on Fox News down to report about this, he said it was unreal because everybody was locked down, called shelter down. You stay in your house and you don't move. No work, no money, no wages, no buying and selling, no profit, all loss. And he says it was unreal. It was coming down the highway. Normally it would take 45 minutes to get from the airport to where he was. He got there in 10 minutes because no one was on the highways. Now think what it's going to be when things get really tough. Now I know when I was driving up to Fairfield every week, as the price of gas went up, number of cars on Sabbath went down. And there were times when I was driving up there, I could look ahead for over a mile before I could see the next car and look in my rearview mirror and know that it was more than a mile behind me and no one was, it was a mile behind me, mile ahead of me, and here I am driving solo. What's it going to be when gas is $10 a gallon? Going to sell a drop for $100? No. Okay. Verse 23. And if after all these things you will not be reformed by me, but will still walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you. So you see how God does it. He gives punishment, waits for repentance. No repentance, gives some more punishment, waits for repentance. Then it reaches a certain point where God says, all right, I'm going to set my face against you. More punishment, waiting for repentance. God always acknowledges repentance, waiting for more repentance, more difficulties, problems at home, problems at school, problems with crime. And as I mentioned before, what are they going to do when they run out of money? With all those who are in prison. And when they're let out, with 15% unemployment in the population before they're released, guess what they're going to do? And you can't have the police come and help you because their budget has been cut and they don't have the personnel to do it. See? All these things just mount up and mount up and mount up and mount up and mount up. God says, but will still walk contrary to me, verse 23, then I will walk contrary to you. Now then it gets really, really, really serious. Okay? And will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. Now there are many places that's going to come from. You have terrorists. You have organized militia groups. You have illegal aliens of all kinds. And remember the plan for putting the Chinese cities in America? And when you're gathered inside your cities, and guess what? 60% of Americans live in cities today, don't they? I will send the plague among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. Now, what's the best way to deliver us into the hand of the enemy? The demise of the dollar. Think about that. When I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight. That's called rationing. And you shall eat and not be satisfied. Now just think about how spoiled we are. What do you do for your food? Well, you run to the store. I do, you do. How big of a garden do you have? Well, if you have a garden, you may have some tomatoes, you may have some cucumbers, you may have some squash, but do you have enough that you can harvest for a year's worth of food? Everything's at the store. You may have 1, 2, or 3 refrigerators, 1 or 2 freezers, stuffed to the gills, but unless you can grow it, you're going to run out. Doesn't matter how much you have, some sooner than others. Now, what's going to happen when the highways are desolate and the trucks cannot go through and no one is producing food? So God says, all right, you have another chance. Verse 27. And if you will not for all this hearken to me, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. So you see how it progresses. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and throw your carcasses on the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall despise you. And I will make your cities waste and cause your sanctuaries to be desolate. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I myself will make the land desolate, and the enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. That's exactly what happened when Titus finally conquered Jerusalem. Now, where the temple was a high area, hard to get to, and the Jews had it well defended, and they tried many, many times to get there. Finally, the only way they could do was come down from Fort Antonio, and you can read this in Josephus. And by time they got there, because there were 3 times more people, probably more than 3 times, there were 2.5 million people in Jerusalem for that last Passover before the destruction of the temple. They ran out of food supplies. They were doing just like it was here. They were selling body parts. They were eating one another. They were killing one another. And so when the famine finally took its toll, and there were dead bodies strewn all over that temple area, Titus finally got up on the wall of Fort Antonio, and he looked down and he saw the condition of it. And he said, if God had not been on our side, we could not have won this battle. Now think about everything that we have relied on for our defenses. Can all be cut off electronically. See? Now, people don't like to hear these things. This is gruesome. But, you know, if we don't learn from history, and if we don't understand the Word of God, and if we don't look to Him, see, we're the remnant that God is going to protect. We're the remnant that God is going to watch over. And God will reach down to anyone who repents. How do you think there's going to be the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude? They're going to be those who will repent. So that's what God says he will do. All right, let's come all the way down here to verse 40. After they are reduced to few in number, carried off in captivity, verse 40, but if they shall confess their iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers with their own iniquities, which they sinned against me, and that they have walked contrary to me, so that I in turn have walked contrary to them. See, the principle of reciprocity is how God always works. He sets before you a proposition, and if you respond to Him, He responds to you. If you don't respond to Him, He doesn't respond to you. Okay? So if they confess and have brought themselves into the land of their enemies, and if, okay, so there's number 9, their uncircumcised hearts are then humbled, and they accept the punishment for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land. Now, what about those of us who are in the church in the middle of all of this? Okay? Well, we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to stay close to God. We need not be satisfied. And let me tell you, one of the biggest idolatries within the church today, actually there are 2 forms of it. Number 1, they follow a man who has long since died. Number 2, they place fellowship as more important than learning about God. Oh, they would do this that, you know, the Bible says, but we have our little group that we stay with, okay? But the minister is teaching things that are not right, but we know the difference, but we love the brethren, but we'll stay so we can set an example for them. The way you set an example for them is stand for the truth. Now, let's come to Psalm 91, because I don't want to leave you completely dejected. I told you to read it a couple of weeks ago, but this week we need to read it, okay? This is also a test of faith, too, is it not? Yes, it is. This is why this fits into the series, Faith Unto Faith. See, our faith goes to God, God's faith comes back to us, and it's continuously a spiritual interaction between us and God and God and us. Between us and Christ and us. You see? And this is why we need to pray, we need to study, we need to yield to God. See? And here's what'll happen. Verse 1, does God know you? Yes, he does. He's given you the Holy Spirit, has he not? He dwells in you, does he not? Yes, he does. And so does Christ. Remember, Jesus said, the one who keeps my words, my Father will love, and I will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So think about that. God is directly with you and in you. So therefore, it doesn't matter what goes on in the world. It matters how your relationship with God is. Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now you can't see his shadow. You can see the effect of it. So likewise, you can't see this protection, but you can see the effect of it. Does God love you? Yes, he's called you. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, not my plans, not my guns. He is my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. Now, we just read about a lot of that, didn't we? Yes, we did. Now, the way you approach this is, like this one woman who I talked to, she said she reads Psalm 91 every morning to start the day off. You see? Okay? That's what we need to do. He will spare us from it. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Unseen. It's like Jesus said to Jerusalem before it was destroyed. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how many times would I have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you refused. So now you have desolation. This will stay until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we have this. Do you believe God? Do you believe his word? Do you believe Jesus Christ? Yes, indeed. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. That's why we need repentance every day. Look at all the ifs that God said he would respond to. Same way with us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we keep his commandments, if we love him, okay? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. May zing past your head, but it missed, okay? Nor for the plague that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction laying waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. That may be a close call, but it still missed. Now, I remember when we had the big earthquake, just to show you a couple of things. They had the elevated freeway along the bay shore in Oakland, across the bay from San Francisco, leading up to the Bay Bridge. And this was 1989, and this earthquake hit just absolute, boy, it shook everything. And we were up in Twain Heart for the Feast of Tabernacles at that time, began to see through the television the things coming through. So they didn't realize it, but the whole upper deck collapsed down on top of the lower deck, and there were people trapped inside and people killed and so forth. The houses built out on the fill into the bay, the ground beneath it came like jelly, and the apartments fell and the houses fell and fires were burning. Here we are up in Twain Heart keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was late in the afternoon after services, so I said, well, I'm going to go down and check on our house and Evelyn Gardner's house to see how much damage there was. Well, there was no damage in Evelyn Gardner's place, and she lived in a mobile home park. Now, earthquakes normally knock the mobile homes right off the foundation, okay? There were some there that were that way. Hers was spared. Now, yes, she lost a little bit in food on the inside. I couldn't get in. But I looked in, and I didn't see any damage. Nothing fell over. Came over to our place. Our place was just fine. Checked everything outside and downstairs, came upstairs and went in the living room, and we had this one conquistador statue right up on our fireplace hearth. And it was the only thing damaged, and it fell right between the couch and a stand-up lamp. Nothing else was damaged. So all the way driving back up, I was thanking God for his intervention, and likewise, all the people at the feast, when they got home, very little damage, if any. So just an example of how God can do it, and that came suddenly. There's no warning. They're still trying to figure out, can we get a warning for an earthquake? Well, in Indonesia, they say, watch the elephants. Okay? Verse 8, only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, that's David referring to God, even the Most High, your habitation. Because you put God first. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, if your faith is a little weak and you're thinking about, well, will this really happen? Well, you do like we saw last week with the man who wanted his son healed of demon possession. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So confess to God your unbelief and ask him to help you. He will help you. You shall tread upon the lion and the asp, and the young lion and the jackal you shall trample underfoot, because he, that is meaning you, have set his love upon me, being God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now, this gets into the reward of the resurrection, too. See? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Not walk contrary to you. I will be with him in trouble. Doesn't say you're not going to have any trouble, but he's going to be with you in trouble and help you out of it. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Now, is eternal life long enough? Okay. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So that is a powerful psalm. This is how we need to view all of this. And I'm sure back there in the Boston area and in the Northeast, there are people of God. God has spared them. God has watched over them. I'm sure they're thankful. I'm sure they're asking God to continue to bless them, and that they have now, when you go through some of these things, you set your course to thank God and to do what is right, don't you? Yes, indeed. And so this is why these things come about. So I don't want you to be depressed. I don't want you to feel really down. Now, we can feel sorry for the people and all the things that have happened, but they have to deal with it at their level. They have to stop their sins. They have to repent of what they've been doing and transgressing against God. Now, we have to do our part. I'm trying to do it with what we do with Church at Home, to reach out to new people, cause them to think about these things. I hope all the other churches of God will do the same thing in however way they can do it. So after all of this that happened this last week, I guess you can say you're stuck with the sermon. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.